Let's take our Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I want you to keep your Bibles handy tonight. This is going to be a sermon that's going to be one of those line upon line, precept upon precept sermons. We're going to use our Bibles a lot because I'm going to challenge some things, and I want to show you that I'm just not coming up with this. I think it's good to study things out. I think it's good for us to look in the Scriptures and see some things. I think that there are some things that are popularly said and taught. And to be real careful, folks, you know, I thank God we're in a church where we've got a preacher for 35 years just hasn't preached the Bible but has studied it out. And there's just a lot, and sometimes it's not even the fault of the people that do it. I mean, as far as sometimes you just have to look at where a person's in the ministry, how long they've been there, and all of us continue to grow and learn. But it's easy sometimes just to stand up and give some points that just seem to appeal to the human logic, seem right, seem like that makes sense, so surely it must be. But one of the things you always have got to look for if you're going to be a scriptural listener is somebody just presenting points that they are coming up with, or after they say this, do they go to plain Bible commands and illustrations and through Bible principles and precepts prove that what they are saying is accurate? Because there's a lot of things that are said that just sound good and really, like I said, appeal to human reason, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are scripturally sound. Are you listening to me? And you've got to, you know, not only gladly receive the word, but to go home and diligently search the Scriptures and whether these things are so. And I think a lot of times when we, and I'm glad, I think it's great, boy, I like to go off to meetings and hear other preachers and stuff, but I think you ought to be very, very careful, is you don't just get caught up in something because somebody is bombastic or has an exciting personality or talks convincingly. I think you've got to keep your Bible open, and you've got to say, is what they're saying accurate? And so that's what we're going to do. I'm going to look at some things tonight that I think will be a help. This message is for the church. It's directed to Christians. This message in a specific way, I want to kind of talk to the 32 members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church that will be loading a bus 10 days. And heading down to this trip. I want this sermon to be somewhat of a preparation for you in a specific sense, but also that our church all the way through would see some Bible principles that are very, very important. It absolutely cannot be ignored because, listen, I'll tell you what. Let me just say this. If you go somewhere, I'm just going to say this, all right? All right, I'm just going to say it, Brother Tom. If you go trotting off somewhere and get underneath somebody else's influence and you're hearing things other than what Brother Ross is preaching, just don't swallow them hook, line, and sinker. Why don't you get in the Bible? Don't come back and try to teach him what you learned. He's probably forgotten more than you know. And if he's not doing something, there might be a real good Bible reason not. Okay, and so, you know, I'm just keep my eye on the seasoned guy. I'll just kind of listen to that 35-year-old veteran who's the proof of what he's what God's allowed him to do is sitting all over this auditorium and changed and transformed lives. I just be real. You know, for a young Christian and for a novice, new things are exciting. Anything that sounds like something that, you know, boy, this guy, he's preaching something nobody's ever preached. He's found something no one's ever found. Well, there's no new thing under the sun. And if the seasoned old men aren't preaching it, I'd be real careful. I think I'd look at that real hard. As a young preacher, I'd find some things sometimes and say, wow, look at this. I found something. Man, I don't even remember John R. Rice teaching this. I don't think Lester Roloff knew this. You know what I found out? Probably better to take that, even if you think it's true, probably better to take that thing and stick it down in a file somewhere and pull it out in about 5 years and see if you still think that that's probably right for you to get up. Because there may be a reason these old guys, you know, nothing's worse than well getting up and presenting some new thing, some biblical truth that you think you found that no one's found before, then having some seasoned guy, a Christian, pull you aside on the back and open the Bible and point to about three scriptures, it just blows it completely out of the water.
Yeah. Amen.
All right. And so I'm just telling you, I will get me the great men and learn of them. They have learned, they know the ways of the Lord, and I just a little precautionary thing before you get, before you show up and decide it's time to re-educate Pastor Ross over some things that he hasn't learned in 35 years, and boy, you found it because you ran over this little thing and somebody taught you this. There may be a reason he's not on their bandwagon. And it might be called the fact that he's got enough Bible sense and Bible training and Bible learning to have learned a few things, okay? Okay, the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28. Let's all stand. Verse number 16. And the 11 disciples were away from into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they had saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And poof, Jesus went up, and boom, they went. Is this the only place, the Great Commission, the only place where we have any information concerning what happened here on the Mount of Olives? Is this the only place where we have some information? Okay, let's go look at the other places. Mark chapter number 16. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? Let's go to Mark chapter number 16. Verse number 15, and he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So far we've got two places to tell about this, and both of them sounds like he ascended up, and then you know what? When they disappeared out of his sight, boom, they started knocking on doors. But we know, and those of you who know the Bible know that that's not true. Something else happened. All right, let's go to Luke chapter number 24. Luke chapter number 24. Verse number 46. Luke 24, verse number 46. Jesus has appeared to the disciples in the upper room. We'll continue in the midst of what he's telling them. Verse number 46, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Now, the pictures begin to come in more focus. Remember, folks, the Bible never contradicts itself. It completes itself. So what you need to do is you need to, what it means to rightly divide the Word of God, it means you need to collect all that the Bible says on a given incident, doctrine, situation, and then before you make a judgment call, look at everything the Bible says before you try to put this thing in your mind as far as what happened, all right? We're going to skip the book of John because it gives no reference to the Ascension or the Great Commission. We'll go to Acts chapter number 1. So we find this incident, these things have the Great Commission, the ascension into heaven found in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and Acts chapter 1. Verse 1, The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, and to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as they went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And they then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where they abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James, and all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with the brethren. In chapter 2 verse 1, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house they were the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a what? That sound familiar? Do you hear anything about that today in Sunday school class, adults? I think the Lord has a neat way of putting Sundays together, putting messages together. Everything that you heard in the adult class, those of you who are in there, is very pertinent to what we're going to be saying tonight. And I told Pastor before the service, I said, if I was grieved over anything, it wasn't that all of our teenagers were in the adult Sunday school class this morning. And boy, I'd grab that tape and listen to it. Folks, listen to me. This is one of those Bible times when the fire fell. Amen. Well, wonder why it did. Wonder what happened. Okay? I want to talk to you tonight about this. 10 days that changed the world. 10 days that changed the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. And Lord, we come before your word very humbly. Lord, we don't want to come before you and before your word with a bunch of preconceived notions that we refuse to let go of. Are already convinced that what we know is right and there's no need to study on. Lord, I suppose there's not a person in this room that has mastered this book. And Lord, we can always learn and we should learn because, Lord, sound doctrine produces sound Christians. Unsound doctrine produces unsound Christians and unsound churches. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd speak to our hearts. And we'd understand that there is a way to go about this matter of reaching the world for Jesus Christ. And Lord, this needs to be preached. It needs to be emphasized across America. Lord, I think a bunch of unclean, unseparated, undedicated, unbroken vessels are running around trying to do in the power of flesh what only can be done through the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray that you would break our hearts over this matter. It's not a matter of us becoming perfect before we can be used, but there are some things that need to happen. There are, Lord, these precious 10 days. Lord, for some reason, we just skip over these 10 days. We just want to go right from Mount Olivet to the first door. And, Lord, I think there's something we ought to look at, something that happened to this group of people in between that needs to happen to us. And, Lord, not just for this missions trip coming up, but Lord, for the work of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, week in, week out, for the revival meetings that happen here, for the special events that happen here, Lord, the same formula works no matter what we are looking forward to or what we're preparing for. This isn't an annual thing to do. This is a week-by-week way of living. And I pray, God, that we get this and understand this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, you're going to really have to, in some ways, put your thinking cap on and listen on purpose tonight. If you're a casual listener that likes to come and tends to perk up when the stories are funnier enough or if it's interesting, you know, but we really need you to be a student tonight. Because, folks, this is what it's all about. If we don't come to church to learn the Bible and what it says, then why are we here? And so put your thinking caps on. If I had a pen or a paper or an ink pen or a pencil, I'm going to ask you to mark a few things in your Bible. There's some little phrases. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We just jump over certain verses. We just jump over phrases. Sometimes we'll jump over whole chapters if it doesn't fit in our particular philosophy of ministry. And I think what we ought to do is just take a look at all that what the Bible says and obey it. Precept upon precept, line upon line, step upon step, and you'll be surprised what God can do then. He blesses His Word. He blesses obedience to His Word. I love to hear beautiful music. I do. I love to hear somebody that God has blessed with a talent, and they have developed that talent through hard work, and they are just blessed and have been given a talent to play an instrument. I love to hear beautiful piano music. I really do. I really enjoy the offertories here. I think so many times we decide the offertories are time to talk. I don't think it is. I think it's time to listen and be blessed. You know, they practice hard on it. It's that music can minister to your heart. I'll be honest. I love to hear the songs of Zion played on instruments beside a piano. And I think, again, there's certain instruments that aren't appropriate to the situation, aren't appropriate to the church house and all of that. I'll be honest with you, I miss Keith's violin, Brother Casper. I do. I just think there's certain instruments that just convey some things, they add some things. I just love that. I love to go and watch somebody get up and play a beautiful song, and I'm always touched by that. I love to hear somebody get up and sing a beautiful song, and I'm touched by that. And you know what? A lot of times what we do is we sit there and we listen to the performance of and we see the event. And we say to ourselves, wow, look at that. You know what? I want to do that. I want to be able to do that. But what we don't understand is that, and boy, thank God, I think one of the best statements that I grabbed a hold of that Brother Howes drilled into us when we were in Bible college was this. It was on the wall in one of the classrooms that I frequented. And it said, greatness is not in the performance. Greatness is in the preparation. You get that? Greatness is not in the performance. Greatness is in the preparation. Wow, that was a great special. Well, let me tell you why it was great. It wasn't great because they walked up there and they were great. It was great because of the unseen hours of preparation that led up to that moment where they were able to get up and be a blessing and be used of God. And a lot of times I think that's true. You know, in a sermon, I love to hear great messages. I think we heard two of the best Bible messages. I mean, folks, I'll tell you what, we just eat taters and gravy and steak all the time around here and just wipe our chin, and I think we just take it for granted, brother. I'm telling you what, a lot of people went to church this morning and they got bread and water. But I'll tell you what, and I really do mean that. I just sat there this morning during Sunday school and just thought to myself, man, alive. If we'd listen, heaven's trying to open here. God's trying to do something. God's trying to blow something open here. If we'd just listen to what's being said. And then I'll tell you what, one of the masterpiece messages, Sunday morning message on the influence that we have on other people. Just it's just unbelievable. But we sit there and we listen to that message. And the other night, we went over to Good Shepherd Baptist Church and hear Larry Brown preach. And boy, I'll tell you what, that's just fun. I mean, that's just like eating candy. Forget steak and potatoes and gravy. That's like eating candy, you know. But you listen to that message and you think, wow. Well, let me tell you, folks, so that moment in time wasn't where the wow was. That sermon was the result of hours and hours and sometimes years and years of God working in a person's life and opening his eyes and illuminating things and studying. And it's, you know, and I don't know if I want to go into this or not, but I'll tell you something, folks. Preaching is not just getting up and saying some words. Paul talked about, I didn't deliver unto you just the word of God, but my own soul. Any message that's worth its salt contains a part of that individual that is preaching it. I mean, if you don't have your soul into it, and you don't just deliver a message, you deliver a part of you. Sometimes people say, well, you know, a preacher, you can't get offended. You know, if they reject the Word of God, they're rejecting God and His Word. They're not rejecting you. You can't take things personally. But I'll be honest with you, if you don't have your person in that message, then it's probably not worth much anyway. And that's why preachers, you know, sometimes it is hurtful when you, and they tend to take things a little personally. You can't do that, and I know you're not supposed to, but you can, because you know what, you're just not delivering some precepts of black words on white paper. You're delivering something that you know is true, that God's done in your life, that God's illuminated, and you know it can help the people. And you put everything you've got into it, and you lay it out there, and then to watch it, be trodden over like pearls being thrown out, and the sow's trampling over that. I'll be honest, that's a hard thing for a preacher. It's just hard, and that's why preachers all through the Bible, they shed a lot of tears. It's because it wasn't, they were connected into that. But what I'm trying to get across here is you listen to the instrument play. Wow, isn't that great? Well, folks, that is great, but that's not the greatness. The greatness was in the lifetime of preparation that came to that moment. Wow, listen to that person sing. That, and wasn't that amazing? Well, let me tell you what's amazing is the hours of voice development and practice. And the prayer. It's just not the physical part. The prayer. The asking for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because I've heard some beautiful, as far as accurately sung songs that didn't stir me or move me because they weren't anointed by the Holy Spirit. It's that person on their knees. It's not just that person standing by the piano. It's them on their knees asking God to anoint what they do to make it Spirit-filled. So a lot of times we listen to a message. Wow, that was great. Well, let me tell you something. That's not where the greatness was. The greatness was in all of the preparation of that. And we look at the day of Pentecost, I think in Acts chapter 2, and say, wow, isn't that great what happened in Acts chapter 2? But folks, let me tell you, it was not one day that changed the world. It was 10 days that changed the world. And I think a lot of times what we want to do, and by the way, you can use this, you can criticize all you want, you can say whatever you want, you can leave this and say, Pastor Jerry's not for soul winning. I am 100% for soul winning, and I don't just talk about it. I prove it out every day, every week of my life. I've been involved in it. I've done it. Folks, since I was 17 years of age, I haven't taken a vacation from it. I haven't got away from it. I'm faithful at doing it. But let me tell you something. I believe sometimes folks like to preach about soul winning, but they don't preach on preparation for soul winning. And they want to preach on Pentecost. And they don't want to talk about the cost, as Pastor talked about, that was paid so that the power would be there. And folks, listen, isn't this interesting? This is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Wait, we're leaving a week from Tuesday on this trip. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I wonder what God could do in 10 days. Well, I hope something happens good at the mission trip. Can I share something with you, folks? The day we leave on the missions trip, it will have already been decided how much can happen. Some of you young people that are hoping when you get down there, you might get struck by something. If you haven't been struck before we get on the bus, you're in trouble. God's going to maybe use us. Maybe we'll just stumble through this thing and get our stuff ready, and then we'll show up and maybe something good will happen. That's not what Jesus told these folks to do. He said, listen, I'm telling you, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you know what? It's amazing. How many times do you hear people preach on soul winning and they ever get past Matthew or Mark? They either go to the Great Commission of Matthew, the Great Commission of Mark, but they never go to the other instances of them. You know why? Because they want you to go, get out there, go, get out there, go. And you know what? You hear that a lot around here too. But let me tell you something, folks. It was 10 days that changed the world, not one day. And there are some things that need to happen in the heart of an individual if God's going to use them in a mighty way to influence the world for Jesus Christ. These 120 people, I'm convinced of this, these 120 people, Could have sat there and watched Jesus ascend to heaven and scattered from that mountain and started door knocking and street preaching and doing everything they could do. And you know what? I don't think you would have saw. You'd have never. The book of Acts never would have been able to be written. There would have not been the miracles of the book of Acts. And so what happened in these 10 days? What are you talking about? I'm talking about in verse number 2, Acts chapter 1, verse number 12, where they return unto Jerusalem and they sequester themselves into the upper room, and something happens for 10 days before the mighty power of God falls down. And I think that's what we ought to put under the microscope this evening, all right? 10 days that changed the world. Number one, it was 10 days of waiting on God. Waiting on God. Now mark your Bibles there in the book of Acts if you're there, but let's go back to Luke chapter number 24. I'm going to have you underline a word there because I think it's an important word. I think it's a vital word. I think we need to understand and learn that this is part of the formula. Luke chapter number 24, and look at verse number 29. And behold, verse number 49. chapter 24, verse number 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but, what's the next word?
Tarry.
10 days of waiting on God. He said, I want you to go back and I want you to tarry. Literally, I want you to wait on God. I want you to wait on God. You know, I don't think we really understand that word. I don't think we understand that concept. I think Americans, more than anybody, don't get it.
Right.
Don't get it. Amen? Now stay there a minute, or hold your place there. But 1 Kings chapter 19, let's go there. Now just get used to it, folks. Exercise them fingers. Let your fingers do the walking. Amen? 1 Kings chapter number 19. What does it mean to tarry? Well, it's about the least favorite thing on the list of favorite activities of Christian people. God said, listen, Jesus said, I want you to just go park yourselves and wait on God. I want you to tarry. I want you to just wait. Doesn't sound like a lot of the preaching we're hearing, does it? Unless God gets saved, baptized, go, go. Well, maybe you ought to take 10 days. By the way, it just wasn't 10 days here. 3 years these disciples have walked with Jesus.
Right.
It was a year and a half into the ministry before he paired them two by two and sent them the first time out. Year and a half under Jesus' tutelage. I'm not saying you have to wait a year and a half. I know that Saul, who was called Paul, was saved and in his very short time was out preaching. But you better look at what happened between when he was preaching and when he got saved. Some of the same things we're talking about now. Are you listening to me? We better get this. Are we there? 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's look at verse number 12. I'm sorry, verse number 11. And he said, this is God speaking to Elijah. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Notice he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. He's standing there on the mountain and a big strong wind comes and it rends the mountain. He says, surely that's God. And he looks, no God.
Yeah.
That's not where the Lord was. Okay. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. All of a sudden the ground starts shaking and Elijah, here comes God. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, all of a sudden, can you imagine, all of a sudden, a spontaneous combustion, a tree burst into flame, a bushes burst into flames, flames maybe running across the ground and falling from the sky. Here comes God! You better learn this, you better get this. Okay. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a what? You better underline that right there. Better underline that. Let me tell you why we don't hear God. Because we don't tarry. Had a great week at camp last week. I'm excited about our juniors going to camp. I've thought this thing through because I'm just fascinated by these type of things. Why is it that you can take a group of young people or a group of teenagers or even a group of adults somewhere to a camp type setting and God will speak to them in ways that seems like we can't get through to them any other place? Well, let me tell you why that is. There's no TV there. There's no phone there. There's no radio there. There's no CD player there. I mean, you walk out of a night and you know what you see? Stars. You see God's creation. You see the moon. You listen. All you hear is God's critters. You know why we don't hear God? Because God speaks in an SSV, a still small voice.
Amen.
Go tarry. Do what, Lord? Go tarry. Tarry. Go wait. Go set. You go listen. And when God says go, God gets you ready. God does what he needs to, then you can go. But we just don't do any tarrying. We don't do much tarrying. We don't do much tarrying. You know what I found out? I found out that folks that just like to talk constantly. By the way, I like to talk. I enjoy fellowship. I enjoyed fellowship. But I'm talking about people that are not happy unless they're with somebody else. Are not happy unless something in the house is running. Can't get in a car and drive from point A to point B without something playing on the radio or some tape going. I'm telling you something, folks. God speaks in a still, small voice. Now, let me give you a great Bible truth here. You have to be quiet to hear Him.
Yes, you do.
I mean, you've got to set some time. Well, I'm going to go pray. I'm not talking about praying yet. I'm talking about tarrying.
Yes.
There's a time for praying. We'll get to, but I'm talking about tarrying. Boy, I'll tell you what, Satan's the prince of this world, the prince and power of this air. He's just got this world system set up where, you know what, from the time the alarm goes off to the time you go to bed, it's full-fledged, flat out, bang, slam, loud, this going on, that going on, scream, holler, run, this playing, that playing, got to watch this show, got to catch this program on the radio, can't miss this, can't miss, you know, whatever happened, just to listening for God. How about it, teenager? Why is it that you don't want to be by yourself? Why is it you're afraid of the quiet? Why is it you're miserably, unhappily, and mad at your parents if you can't be, go, 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 got to go somewhere, got to be with somebody? Why can't you go to your room without wanting to turn the radio on right away? Whatever happened to going out and finding a tree somewhere and sitting down underneath it and just listening for God? Just listen to what God's trying to do. They that wait upon the Lord. Whatever happened to that verse? Oh, we're good. We like it. We even have a song about it. We like to sing it. We just don't ever do it. Shall what? Renew their strength? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And yet all you hear about people talking about is how worn out they are, and how tired they are, and how behind they are, and how weak they are, and how sick they are.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a cure for that. Or if there's a cure for that. Or if you just went, snip. Cut the phone line for a couple days. Don't really do it. Don't really do that, teenagers. Amen. What I'm saying, folks, is there was 10 days that happened. 10 days of waiting. 10 days of tarrying. 10 days of just waiting quietly before God. Number two, there was 10 days of seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Very important that we define this. Very important that we understand what happened here. Because what a lot of people want to do is they want to ignore what happened in Acts chapter 1 because it's not pertinent to us, because they believe this is when the Holy Spirit was sent. I'm going to go through this and I want you to look at the scripture. I don't even care if you don't agree with me, but I want you to look at the scripture. Because again, I think a lot of times we're just ignoring something and we're running out without the power to do what we need to do. Okay, John chapter number 20. Let's go there. I'm sorry. Let's go there. This is the John chapter number 7. John chapter number 7. Now, I'm going to run through this because I want you to see. Boy, it's important that you get what happened on the day of Pentecost. By the way, it would solve all of the wrong doctrinal teaching of our charismatic friends if they would understand what I'm about to tell you. Okay. John chapter number 7 and verse number 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit," capital S, the Holy Spirit, "which they that believed on him should receive, they haven't yet. Okay, Jesus is still on earth. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet what? So why wasn't the Holy Spirit not given? Because Jesus was not yet. All right, let's go to John chapter number 20. Now listen to the scripture, watch it and read it. This is very important. What happened on the day of Pentecost? All right. Was the goal, you know, we're mixed up as far as what God's, the purpose of the Holy Spirit. What, we don't understand the baptism. We don't know the difference between the receiving the Holy Spirit and being baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. You better get this. Listen. Okay, John chapter 20, verse number 19 through 22. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." Wait a minute, wait a minute. The doors were shut, the disciples were assembled, and Jesus appeared in the midst of them. How was he able to do that? What was going on here? He was in his what?
Glory.
His what kind of body?
Glorified.
His what kind of body?
Glorified.
I can't send the Holy Spirit because I haven't yet been glorified. Now watch this. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. When the disciples, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, what? Okay, was he kidding? So if he said, if Jesus appears, breathes on you and says, receive the Holy Ghost, you think you got it? This was in the upper room after the resurrection. This isn't the day of Pentecost.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Okay. Well, we don't have to follow the Acts chapter 1 formula because that was when God sent the Holy Spirit. I think Jesus just did it.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Now, if you don't believe that, that's fine. But you got to do something with this verse. You got to do something with this story. Okay. All right. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between the reception of the Holy Spirit and the baptism or the fullness of the Holy Spirit. All right. Now, watch this. Acts chapter number 1 then. Acts chapter 1. Let's go there. Verse number 4. So what are they waiting for? What are they tarrying for? Boy, you got to get this. And young people, I want you to focus in on me, on this with me. Man, I'm telling you what. I pray to God that the 32 teenagers that are signed up to go on this trip, I'm sorry, they're not 32 teenagers, 26 young people that are signed up to go on this trip, and then there's two of our college age students, and then there's four adult chaperones. I pray that you're just not letting this go. Because you got 10 days. You had as much time as the disciples had. What are you going to do with it? You know, you see that letter, Pastor Jerry, you see what he said? I've never seen so many parents run around so upset in all my life. Why don't you take a breath? You better go back and reread that. Don't make ridiculous statements. Well, he's expecting them to be perfect. Go back and read. Did I ever put in there you want to be perfect? What's wrong with saying you're supposed to be spiritually minded and filled with the Holy Spirit if you're going to go do God's work? I mean, am I inaccurate on what I'm reading in the book? Well, if you take them and they're backslidden, they're not right with God, maybe something good will happen. Well, maybe they ought to just stay here and wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
That's absolutely right.
Maybe they ought to tarry. That's what Jesus said. I'm sorry. I mean, Jesus put this down. This is his formula. I know it will line up with everybody, their preachers out there. I'm sorry. They probably found something he forgot. Excuse me, folks, but I didn't fall off the turnip truck. I drove it in here tonight, all right? You know, I'm not still wet behind the ears. And that guy's certainly not. And you know what? There's a reason we preach a lot about holiness. We preach about separation, being right with God, getting your heart right. None of us are ever going to be perfect, but we can be right. We can get right what's imperfect. And we can spend time going to God and seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit. What's wrong with that?
Absolutely.
Acts chapter 1. You say, well, let's read this, Pastor, because I've got some questions. Good, I've got some answers. Verse number 4. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Now, what's the promise? See, they're supposed to wait for the promise. Well, what is the promise? Okay, here's the promise. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water. You get that? Did you watch a baptism this morning? Okay, there's a parallel going on here.
Yeah,
all right? But John truly baptized with water. And we always say, we're Baptist, so we don't believe in this. We believe in baptism by? Why do we use that word? What does that mean? You immerse somebody. They are immersed into the water. Completely immersed into the water. You know, you can have the Holy Spirit of God living in you and not be immersed.
Right.
In the Holy Spirit?
Right.
Are you getting this? For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be not receiving, not get him. You'll be immersed with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I'm not teaching a new doctrine. I'm not teaching a doctrine that's not Baptist doctrine. When you get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit of God. He comes and lives inside of you. But that doesn't mean you're immersed in the Holy Spirit of God. He may be in you. Watch this, because we're going to see this in the next few verses. He may be in you, but that does not mean He's upon you. By the way, that's an Old Testament. We're going to see this crop up here. People want to say, well, the Holy Spirit came here because, see, it came upon them. Well, that's an Old Testament term. That's what happened to Samson when the Holy Spirit came upon him in great power, allowed him to do things that were supernatural or be involved in doing things that were supernatural for God. Amen. Amen. That's good. Boy, it's interesting. When you get in the Bible, you can find some things out. Amen. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he saith unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come. There it is. Upon you. Folks, that's different. He breathed on them, received you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit went in them. But they didn't necessarily come upon them in great power. And the fullness of the Holy Spirit, we're going to see this come up because this is what it's all about here. And notice this, and ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall go around and speak in tongues and brag about it and tell everybody else they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the purpose of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, is to make everybody else feel unspiritual because you have it and they don't. No, the purpose of the fullness of the Holy Spirit is so that you will be empowered to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Holy Spirit power is for soul winning. Holy Spirit power is for preaching of the gospel. Holy Spirit power is so that God can fill you and the power of God come upon you so that when you share the gospel with somebody else, they'll believe it because they're convinced by the Holy Spirit. Not by you, by the Holy Spirit. It's not you, it's Him. Amen, that's good. 10 days of seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire. And it, notice this, sat where? They were immersed. We better get this. You know, we're walking around saying, well, we're blessed God, I'm saved, saved by faith, through grace, through faith. I know I'm saved, and I'll tell you something else. I already have the Holy Spirit. Ha! Well, that's good. There's another step. Something else. He wants to have you. He wants to control you. He wants to fill you. He wants to come upon you. So, folks, you see what happened. And look, by the way, verse 4, and they were all one. And receiving, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between receiving the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. You can have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you can have Him crushed down in some little corner closet of your heart. And you know what? You don't give Him any say. You don't give Him any control. You don't let Him convict you. You don't let Him lead you. You don't let Him direct you. You're not. He hasn't come upon you, filled you, come upon you, immersed. You are not immersed in Him, controlled by Him. And because of that, you don't have any power. Just send them! Who cares? Send them. Jesus cared. Jesus cared. Now, folks, listen to me. What would happen? Are you listening to me, young people? What happened if we spent 10 days waiting on God? Shh. I'm not trying to be smart. I'm not trying to be hurtful here. But it'd be a major accomplishment for some of you just to shut your mouth for 10 days. Stop squawking about what you think about this, what you don't like about it. Just shut your mouth and listen to God. It'd be wonderful. We spent 10 days instead of walking around. Why don't you get alone in your room and say, God, you know what? I don't want to just have the Holy Spirit inside of me. I want to be immersed into the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want it to be come upon me in power. Now let me. You better watch this. Holy Spirit will not control and fill. He will only control a clean vessel, an empty vessel, and a broken vessel. How do you be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, first thing you got to do is empty it. You got to get this. You got to get yourself out of it.
Right. Amen.
And then you got to clean it. You got to get the sin out.
Yep.
And then you got to be broken, because you know what? The Holy Spirit has never and will never use an arrogant person, a proudful person. Well, good enough. I don't need to hear this. I'm fine. I'm just, you know what? You'll live and die and gotten saved and never know what it is to have the touch of God on your life, to have the hand of God on your life.
Yeah.
But if you've ever had that, let me tell you something. You ever get a taste of it one time, you know what? It's addictive.
Right. Yeah.
You don't want to live any other way. And I'm not mad at anybody that don't live that way, but I'll be honest with you, I genuinely feel sorry for you. Because there's something you're missing here. 10 days of waiting on God. 10 days of seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4. Let's look at verse number 4 again. There's 10 days, something else happened in those 10 days. Very simple thing. Acts chapter 4, verse number 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not part from Jerusalem. Notice that? He did what? He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Now jump over to verse number 12. Then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. Verse 14, they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Watch this. 10 days of obedience. Are you getting this? 10 days of obedience. 10 days to change the world. What happened? 120 people said, you know what? We're going to shut our traps. We're going to sequester ourselves away. And we're going to listen to God for a change. Then we are going to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We're going to wait in that attitude of seeking God, emptying ourselves, cleaning ourselves, and allowing ourselves to be broken so that He can fill us. And then you know what we're going to do? We're going to do exactly what Jesus said. 10 days of faithful obedience. What would happen? What would happen if the young people that's getting ready to go on this camp? Now, it's just not the young people, the college students, the chaperones. By the way, you say, well, I'm praying for you, Brother Jerry. Okay, why don't you get in on this? Why don't you get in on this? Are you getting this? What about just trying 10 days of obedience? Obedience to your parents? Obedience to the scriptures. I mean, just throw away that stinking, rotten, rebellious, I'm going to do it my way attitude. I don't care what they say. I'll find a loophole. I'll just do an end run. If they set the dress standard here, I'll try to put in it here.
Absolutely.
Why don't you just get rid of that? Why don't you just try for the next 10 days to just surrender completely and be a humble, obedient Christian and a humble, obedient young person? I mean, just you know, test it out. Test drive it. See what you think. See what happens. Amen. 10 days of faithful obedience. Acts chapter 1, verse number 14. 10 days of unity. And they all continued with one accord in prayer. Chapter 2, verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Let me share something with you, folks. There's nothing more devilish in all the world than somebody that sows discord among the brethren. I'm just telling you. I'll just say it flat out. I'm just telling you. And young people, let me share this with you. And I do this. I've done this for the 10 years I've been here. Whenever we're planning a youth revival, whenever we're planning anything, our school program, different things where I feel it takes a group team effort to put something together. By the way, just about everything that the church does, that's why God put us together under one place. But let me tell you something. I sit down with the young people a month ahead of time when we have something big coming up, and I'll say to them every time the same thing. Let me tell you what's going to happen the next month. You're going to get mad at her. And you're going to have a reason to be mad at them. Something's going to happen she don't like, and you're going to be mad. And you guys, something's going to be happen where you don't like, and you know what? It's Satan. You're being toyed with. It's not you. You know, you're not even that smart. We're not even that smart. It's Satan. He sits around pushing our little buttons, and next thing you know, I guarantee you in the next 10 days, Satan will do everything he can to bring disunity in amongst the young people that are going on this trip. I don't like that. I don't like walking in the youth. I don't like going on a trip and seeing group.
Absolutely.
And all of them kind of looking at each other. I got an idea. Grow up. Well, I just don't like this certain person. Well, heaven forbid, everybody's personality is not like yours. Boy, wouldn't that be an interesting world? Can you imagine a whole world of Jerry Rosses, man alive? Somebody better push the buttons and send off the nuclear weapons. We need to wipe that thing out. Same true of you. Aren't you glad there's a variety of people and a variety of personalities? I mean, folks, that's what gives life spice. I mean, aren't you glad everybody's not the same? Listen, if the person's a little different than you, or listen, can't you just get along?
That's right.
10 days of unity. You know what they did? These couldn't be Baptists. 120 Baptists in the same room for 10 days and got along? You know, I kid about it, but I think Satan in hell just laughs his head off.
Yeah, that's right.
He looks at what has happened down in Farmington, Missouri. He just gets a bunch of people, whether they're saved or not. I don't know. I'm not that to judge. But you know what? It's not necessarily a sign that they're lost. There are a lot of saved people just let God or let Satan just get them involved in tomfoolery and foolishness. And they get spiteful and hurtful towards other brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell you something. It's just ridiculous. Excuse me. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. My sin put Jesus Christ on the cross. I'm no better than anybody else. Am I right to look down my nose at anybody else? What's wrong with us? Good. Are you listening to me? What's wrong with us? Oh, you're better than who? Excuse me? Well, I think what you ought to do is just, you know, fall on your face and thank God he's not sending you to hell every day. Thank God for grace. If it wasn't for grace, folks, we'd be burning right now. We'd be screaming in the flames of eternal fire right now if it wasn't for grace. Good night. If you can get along with Italians, you can get along with anybody, you know? I mean, even the quirky people, you can get along with them, I'm telling you, man. So, I feel division. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Next time you say, well, they're just not like me, you ought to follow that up real quick, but thank God. I'm serious. You know, since when is that? Where do you find the Bible that you or me is a pattern of anything? I thought all of us were trying to be like Jesus. He's the pattern. Now, are you there? Okay, then you ought to probably just look at that and head towards that and don't worry about everybody else and where they're at.
Amen.
10 days of unity. 10 days of prayer. Acts chapter 1, verse number 14. You knew this was coming. And we'll close with this. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and his brethren. Folks, let me tell you something. Pastor hit on it this morning so well. That Sunday school lesson was just a classic. Folks, listen, you know what we want? I love that those statements, that whole Sunday school lesson. It's worth those handful of statements where he talked about, and the one illustration where he said, you know what, we want new life without travail. We want new life without, did you get that? I mean, I'm just sitting out there going, that's it. That is exactly it. You know, we want to see the power of God. We want to see the fire fall, but we don't want any inconvenience. We don't want to have to put any human effort into it. We don't want to make any changes in our life. We don't want to be bothered or transformed, or don't ask anything extra of me.
That's right.
But boy, wouldn't it be great if revival broke out. I think these folks interrupted their lives a little in these 10 days.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, because I don't know. I do know this, because it's evidence in the scripture. We won't go through all this. But they didn't spend 24/7, 10 days in a row praying. I don't even know for sure whether or not they stayed in there 24/7 for 10 days. I think men had jobs and people, and I think maybe there was some coming and going. But, you know, for 10 days, they just said, these 10 days are dedicated to this thing. And I'm not asking that of our young people. I'm not asking that of our chaperones. I'm not asking that of our church. But couldn't you spend 10 days where you just say, you know what, I'm going to get a hold of God like I've never got a hold of God. The next 10 days. I mean, I'm just gonna grab a hold of the horns of the altar. Say, God, I'm not letting go till you come down and visit me. God, if the Holy Spirit search me, oh God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me. Holy Spirit, shine that bright spotlight of conviction into my life and point out the areas of God and help me to see my wickedness. Help me to see how sinful I am. God, I need to get things right. I need to get things right. You spend 10 days doing that, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be different.
Yeah.
You're going to be changed.
we're going to do something. I went and talked to Pastor about this and secured his permission to do this, and he felt like it was of God. And you know what, folks, we aren't going to take attendance, and I really mean that. You know, I'm at the point where I'm really at the point in my Christian life where I really spend a lot of my time just trying to keep Jerry Ross right. I'm not going to worry about, you know, I want to encourage you and exhort you and love you and pray for you and hope that you, but you know what? I'm not going to micromanage other people's life. I really need to just get me right. But I'm going to tell you something. I think it'd be neat for the next 10 days. I told Dad, I said, you know what? If me and Cheryl showed up here at 8 o'clock every night and we only asked for 30 minutes, and we will, 8 o'clock to 8:30, 8 o'clock to 8:30 every night between now and when we leave. And you know what? I understand that all the young people may not be able to come every night. That's all right. And if you can, do. But wouldn't it be good for God to just look down and see a group of Christians get on their face and say, God, you got a recipe in here and we want to follow it. So we're going to be here 8 to 8:30. I won't keep them any longer than that. Parents, if you want to drop them off, go do something, come back. If you want to come in and pray with us, we'd love to have you do that. If you want to sit out in the car and listen to the radio, I don't care. But man, I think, you know what, I was sitting there in the Sunday school lesson this morning. I'm saying, that's it. That's the problem. We want the miracles. We just don't want to be inconvenienced.
Right.
And man, I'm going to tell you, young men, you're going to see this. There's something about what happens to a group of Christians that just start praying there. There's something that happens there. That's why some Christians are scared to death of it. Why some Christians absolutely almost do everything they can to uninvolve their family and things like that is because they know that there's something more powerful than even their own influence. And that's the power of God that comes. There's amazing things that happen in the book of Acts in response to united prayer. United prayer. So we're just going to come. We're just going to pray. We'll just do it a half hour and then we'll leave. Get done at 8:30, be home by 9 o'clock, get to bed. But what would happen in the next 10 days? 10 days that change the world. 10 days. Let's wait on God. Let's seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Let's be faithful and obedient. Let's get along. Let's pray. And maybe God will just look down and say, you know what? I'm going to do something.
Hey.
Not because of us, in spite of us.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do something. I'm just going to show myself powerful. I'm just going to let everybody see some fire. Pastor was talking about. So let's bow our head and close our eyes. I know I've gone a little longer than we usually have. I'm aware of that. Folks, I just am so invested in this. I've spent so much time praying of late. I'm asking God to do something in my heart. First of all, in my heart, Christian, are you just sitting there satisfied? I mean, is there no thirst? Is there no, I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty. I'll pour floods upon the dry grounds. Just getting a hold of God and say, God, could you just let me in on this? God, God, I'm not anything. But man, I'd just like to be a part of something that's just supernatural. For once in my life, I'd like just to be able to stand there in wonderment and say, look at what's happening around me. Look at what God's doing. Look, God's using me. It won't make you proud when that happens. It'll make you humble. Look what God used us to do. Don't you want to get a little taste of that sometime in your life? I mean, you want to live and die and watch TV and listen to the radio and eat and sleep and that's it? Are you hungry for something? Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts, God. And Lord, that you just help us to look at the Bible and say, what did Jesus say to do? Lord, I've never had you ever steer me wrong. Sometimes I've known what to do and I haven't done it, and because of that, I failed. Lord, I've never had you steer me wrong. And so I pray, God, that you just help us to get a hold of this thing with our heart. Because, Lord, we have 10 days. If that was enough time for Peter, who had just betrayed Christ, denied him, and then quit the ministry, if 10 days was enough time for him to get ready for this, That just shows how powerful and gracious and forgiving you are. God, I've never in my life, I don't care what's been in my life, I don't care where I was spiritually, I've never in my life gone to you and meant it and got on my face where you didn't clean me and purge me and restore me and renew me and use me. And God, I pray that that would happen, Lord. There's not a person in this room, Lord, I believe with all my heart that doesn't need to get closer to God. And I pray that that would happen. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's